would like to ask you this morning, if you will, to please turn in your Bibles to Matthew chapter 11. I'm going to be doing more reading of Scripture than I normally do, but there's a very important subject that's on my heart this morning. The subject is how God's people are offended. They're offended because of the persecution and because of the trouble that comes in their lives. They're offended, and they're offended because they're not willing to suffer for Christ's sake. And Jesus talks a lot about being offended because of troubles that come in our lives, because of suffering for His sake. I hope that God will help us to be willing to suffer for Christ's sake and to never be offended for suffering for Christ's sake. Sometimes we're offended at the Word of God. There are many people that have been offended because of God's Word. They don't like what God's Word says, and they're offended by the Word of God. And the Word of God talks about that, as well as talking about how we sometimes are offended because we sometimes think that if we follow God and try to serve God, we ought not to have trouble in our lives. But I want us to understand that we will have trouble. And I want us to understand that people will hate us when we do what God's Word tells us to do, and that we should not be offended when people hate us. We should never be ashamed to suffer for Christ's sake. Matthew chapter 11, I want to begin reading with verse 1, read through verse 6. The Word of God tells us about a man that Jesus says, there's never been one greater of those born of women than John the Baptist. Now, John the Baptist was a good man. Jesus said he was. Let me tell you a little secret about John the Baptist. He got offended because he suffered for Christ's sake. He was not a perfect man. Now, if John the Baptist, who's one of the greatest men that's ever lived, if John the Baptist was offended because of Christ's sake, certainly we understand you and I can be offended because of suffering for Christ's sake. Matthew chapter 11, beginning in verse 1, the Word of God says, "And it came to pass, when Jesus had made an end of commanding His 12 disciples, He departed thence to teach and to preach in their cities. Now when John had heard in the prison," John's in prison. And that's the reason he's offended. He's offended that he who had baptized Jesus Christ, that he who had heard God say, "This is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased," that he who had been the forerunner of Jesus Christ, that he who had so many followers following him, he was amazed that he could end up in prison. Just didn't seem fair to him, did it? You ever do things that are right, and then trouble comes, and you think, this just isn't fair. Just want to cry about this. Just terrible. Well, may God help us to stop being offended at suffering for Christ's sake. So John was in prison, verse 2 says, "Now when John had heard in the prison the works of Christ, he sent two of his disciples and said unto him," that is, these two disciples said to Jesus, this is the message, John says, "Art thou he that should come, or do we look for another? Are you really the Christ? We thought the Christ was going to come and set up a kingdom. We thought the King was going to come, and we were going to reign with the King. And instead of reigning with the King, I'm sitting down here in prison. Are you really Christ, or do we need to look for another?" Can you understand why he would feel that way? You and I would have felt the same way. Verse 3 says, "He said unto him, Art thou he that should come, or do we look for another? Jesus answered and said unto them," that is to John's two disciples, he says, "Go and show John again." You've already seen this, John. You've already seen the power. You've already seen the miracles. He says, "Go and show John again those things which ye do hear and see. The blind receive their sight, and the lame walk, the lepers are cleansed, and the deaf hear, the dead are raised up, and the poor have the gospel preached to them. And then Jesus makes this statement, the main thing I want us to think about right now. Jesus says, and blessed is he, whosoever shall not be offended in me. Now, I think probably when John finally heard that message, I think he was ashamed. Because Jesus says, blessed is he, whosoever shall not be offended in me. John, you ought not to be offended. You ought not to be shocked. I told you in the very beginning, when I began preaching in the Sermon on the Mount, I said, blessed are ye when men shall revile you and persecute you and say all manner of evil against you for my sake. And he said, I told you to rejoice and be exceeding glad. And now that you're suffering, you're doubting that I'm the Christ. I told you where you were going to suffer. Peter says it this way. Peter says, think it not strange concerning the fiery trial, which is to try you. Being a Christian does not relieve you from suffering. Being a Christian, being a follower of Christ, does not mean you're going to be exempt from heartache and problems in your life. In fact, being a Christian will of necessity require you to suffer. You can't be a Christian and not suffer. John, you're suffering for my name's sake. You're suffering because you did what was right. Now, Peter also tells us, don't rejoice and don't fret when you suffer for evil doing. If you suffer for evil doing, if you do wrong and you get put in prison, you deserve to be put in prison. But if you do right and you're put in prison, if you do what's good and right, if you're doing what God tells you to do and you suffer for that, he says, and you take it patiently, he says, now that is acceptable to God. What was John's problem right here? He wasn't taking it patiently. He was fretting. He was beginning to wonder, is Jesus really the Christ? Does Jesus really care about me? Can Jesus get me out of prison? Could Jesus have gotten John out of prison? Certainly he could have. Could Jesus have spoken the word and those prison doors have come open and him walked out? Certainly he could have. But Jesus had a purpose for John being in prison right here. And John needed to stop being offended at the trouble he was experiencing because of being a Christian. If you're going to be a Christian, you're going to have to suffer. Get used to it. Get used to it. And glorify God in your life by not being offended when you have to suffer. I want you to notice what he's just said. You know, it's amazing how the Word of God just all fits together. And this is how, in studying this week, I just wish I could just take this morning and just read you all the way through Matthew, the book of Matthew, just talking about this one subject of being offended. Because it's amazing how Jesus, this almost seems to be, and I know the kingdom of heaven is the main message, but listen, this subject of being offended is something Jesus just talks to them over and over about. He says, don't be offended. Don't be offended. He tells them plainly, you're going to be hated. I want you to back up just one chapter from where we're reading. We're in Matthew 11:6, but I want you to back up to Matthew chapter 10. Look at verse 22. And I encourage you to look at your Bibles as I go through this book of Matthew. And we're going to spend the whole morning just looking in the book of Matthew about what the Word of God says about Jesus telling us not to be offended at the sufferings that come because we're a Christian. In Matthew chapter 10, listen please, beginning in verse 22. Did you know it would be different if Jesus didn't tell us all this? It would be different if Jesus just kind of blindsided us and said, now you follow me, and everything's going to be wonderful in your life. Did you know that's a message that goes forth from a lot of pulpits today? Or you just walk down the aisle. You just accept Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, and everything's going to be wonderful, and you'll be rich, and you won't have sickness, and everybody will love you. I'll tell you, that's a lie from the devil. The devil wants you to believe that. The devil wants you to think that. Because he knows when you start trying to serve God, you're going to suffer. And so if you think that everything's going to be wonderful in your life, and then things start happening that are bad, you're going to be offended. Because God lied to you if God told you all that other stuff. God's not telling anybody you won't suffer. God tells you you will suffer. God says you will be hated. So don't think it's strange when you're hated. Matthew 10, verse 22, listen to what he says. Matthew 10, verse 22, Jesus says, "And ye shall be hated." We're talking about we're hard shalls. That is, we come down hard on the word shall. Well, yeah, we come down hard on the word shall when the Word of God says that His name shall be called Jesus, and He shall save His people from their sins. Yes, that's something that God says He did. He accomplished what He came to do. Listen, it's also true when Jesus says, "You shall be hated of all men for my name's sake, but he that endureth to the end shall be saved." There's a salvation in not being offended when you are hated by men. There's a deliverance that takes place when you have no fear of men. There's a deliverance, and John eventually experienced that, brethren. John grew from this point in his life. John grew to the point that he was no longer offended. John grew to the point he was no longer afraid of men. John was so bold that he went to Herod and said, "It's not lawful for you to have your brother's wife." Did John know what was going to happen to him? I think he probably did. He knew that Herod was going to have him killed, and yet he had no fear. And I believe when John laid his head down on that chopping block, he had no more fear of Herod then than Stephen did when he was being stoned to death. I believe they had no fear at all because the peace of God filled their soul. They were not offended at that point. Have you ever been offended because somebody ridiculed you, because you did something that was right, stood up for something that was right? You ever been offended? Your feelings ever been hurt? What's Jesus saying? Well, grow up. You're going to keep on being offended if you're going to be a Christian. He says, "Ye shall be hated of all men for my name's sake, but if you endure to the end, you shall be saved." Verse 23 says, and this is Matthew 10:23, "But when they persecute you in this city," what's he say do? Well, and listen, brethren, you know how much job security I have here? You know how much in our contract you says you have to give me, how much notice you have to give me before you move me on? How much?
Zero.
Oh, goodness. That's exactly right. This church can vote me out today. You understand that? You think that bothers me? Not one iota. It would break my heart. But I know this. I know God's going to take care of me. And Jesus, when He sent out these apostles, He says, "Now if you go into a city and they refuse to hear the Word and they turn their back on God's Word, don't be offended because of that. Don't get upset if those people won't hear you. Go somewhere else. Preach them the Word. And if you get there and they won't hear the Word, go somewhere else. You keep going and you keep preaching. And when you finally find the people that will hear the Word of God and rejoice in the truth of the Word of God, you stay there and you preach to those people. And you keep preaching to those people until they reach a point they say, "Oh, that's too far. I'm not going that far. I'm not willing to go that far." Then you go somewhere else and you preach there. You know why I've been here 25 years? Because so far, though there has been opposition all through my ministry here, so far the majority of the members of this church have wanted to hear the Word of God instead of compromise on the Word of God. But if this church ever reaches a point that you don't want to hear the whole truth of God's Word, you'll have to get another pastor. And I'll probably be offended. You know, I started saying I won't be offended. Well, I will too. I'll probably cry. I'll lay down and cry. You know why? Because we love one another. And it hurts when you love somebody. Now, it's different. You tell me to go to New York and preach to those people and them turn their... Oh, that doesn't bother me. Go up there and preach to them, them turn their back on God's Word. Oh, fine. Let them do that. Go somewhere else, preach the Word. I don't know the people. Don't love the people. Fine. Let them turn their back on God's Word. But when you love a people and you care about the people and they turn their hearts away from the Word of God, that breaks your heart. I've been there too. And that's what hurts. That's what hurts is when people you love refuse to follow God's Word. Verse 23, he says, "But when they persecute in this city, flee ye into another. For verily I say unto you," listen carefully, "ye shall not have gone over all the cities of Israel till the Son of Man be come." Jesus was coming in his kingdom. And he says, you're not going to finish preaching in all Jerusalem, in all of the cities of the Israelites. You're not going to finish spreading the word until the Son of Man is going to come in his glory. And the power of his Father is going to establish his kingdom. He says, you're going to keep on preaching. You're just going to go from city to city till they've all heard. And then I'm going to come in my glory and I'm going to establish my kingdom. And he came and he has established his kingdom. Verse 24, he says, the disciple is not... Listen, here's what Jesus says. This is a rule. This is something you and I need to hear. I'm not better than Jesus. I shouldn't get away with less than what Jesus had to suffer in his life. And Jesus taught him that. John, have you forgotten what you just heard? Well, here he is in verse 24. Matthew 10:24, Jesus says, the disciple is not above his master, nor the servant above his Lord. It is enough for the disciple that he be as his master and the servant as his Lord. Do you know who our Lord and our master and our Savior is? It's Jesus Christ. Are you better than Jesus? Was John the Apostle better? John the Baptist better than Jesus? No. Was Jesus willing to be put in prison? Was Jesus willing for people to hate him? Well, he says, now John, you're not better than your Lord. You're not better than your master. And nobody here is better than our Lord and better than our master. And if you're going to be a disciple of Christ, you will be hated. So don't be what? Don't be what? Don't be offended. Don't be offended. He says, the rest of verse 25 says, if they have called, this is what Jesus says. In the middle of verse 25, he says, if they have called the master of the house. Who's the master of this house? Jesus. If they have called the master of the house Beelzebub, call him a devil. Call him the devil. I heard that some man over another ungodly country called our president a devil this week. But let me tell you something, that doesn't offend me near as much. That offended me. But that doesn't offend me near as much as these people calling my Lord Beelzebub. And you being ridiculed and reproached, and you suffering for Christ's sake, that offends me. That makes me, my heart hurt. It grieves my heart that we have to suffer. And yet, brethren, the Word of God says that Jesus plainly taught us we're going to have to suffer, and when we suffer, don't be offended, rejoice! Because great is your reward in heaven. That's not talking about getting to heaven one day when you die. It's talking about the kingdom of heaven that you can experience right here. And if you can face the troubles and persecution and problems of life, and if you'll stand up and do what's right, you're going to experience great joy in the kingdom of heaven. But if you're offended, and you back up, and you crawfish, and you run away, and you start compromising, you're going to lose your joy. You're going to lose that joy that you could have had if you're willing to suffer for Christ's sake. If they call the master of the house Beelzebub, how much more shall they call them of his household? Listen, if they'll call Jesus the devil, you know what they're going to call you? They're going to call you worse. They're going to call you worse. Aren't you glad Jesus is so good to just explain it all before he ever called you? But now this is the way it's going to be. It's the way it's going to be. Don't be shocked. Don't be amazed. Don't be upset. This is the way it's going to be. Says in verse 28, Matthew 10:28, and fear not them which kill the body, but are not able to kill the soul. Listen, brethren, did they kill John the Baptist's body? But did they kill his soul? No. Don't you be afraid of men. They may be able to kill the body. They may put you in prison. They put John in prison, and then they later put him to death. But John was not afraid of these people once he heard these words of Jesus. To not be offended, and blessed is he whosoever shall not be offended in me. John the Baptist, I think, from this point on, was no longer offended in Christ. No longer afraid of men. So Jesus says, don't be afraid of men which are able to kill the body, but are not able to kill the soul, but rather fear him which is able to destroy both soul and body in hell. That's God. Fear God. Don't fear men. Come down to verse 32. We're talking about being offended at Christ. Brethren, if I'm offended at confessing Christ, if I'm afraid to confess Christ, I'm offended at Him. If anywhere I go, I can't confess Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior, listen, brethren, first of all, I'm a coward. I'm a coward. I'm not a soldier of Jesus Christ. I've been to places, been asked to pray at places, and they'd say, now, if you don't mind, just don't pray in the name of Jesus. I've had preachers in this town that said, we need to change our ministerial association bylaws and not say that you have to be a follower of Jesus Christ. Let me tell you something, brethren. You ever get ashamed of Jesus, you're headed for major trouble in your life. Have you ever been ashamed of Jesus? Thank the Lord some of you recognize, yes, we have sometimes been ashamed of Jesus. Sometimes we've been offended to stand up and be what we ought to be. And here's what Jesus says in Matthew 10, listen to verses 32 and 33. Jesus says, whosoever therefore shall confess me before men, him will I confess also before my Father which is in heaven. But whosoever shall deny me before men, him will I also deny before my Father which is in heaven. If I ever am ashamed of Jesus Christ, if I'm ever ashamed to stand up for the cause of Christ, if I'm ever ashamed, listen, if I'm ashamed of the Word of God, I'm ashamed of Jesus. If there's anything in the Bible that I'm not willing to teach and preach, I am offended in Christ. He's offended me. And if I offend Christ, He'll offend me in a different way. You confess me before men, I'll confess you before my Father which is in heaven. But if you deny me before men, I'll deny you before my Father which is in heaven. Wherever you go, whether it's at work or wherever you are, don't you ever be ashamed of Jesus Christ. Don't you ever be afraid to stand up for what's right and do what's right. Don't be offended in Christ. Don't be offended of Christ. Don't be offended because of Christ. Stand up for what's right. Listen in verse 34. I believe that people have such a distorted concept of God and Jesus today. I think there are so many people that they think of God as something that's just weak and frail and He just wants this and He wants that, but He just can't do it, can't get it done. He's so frustrated. That's not the God of the Bible. And I think other people want... I've got some good friends. I have some family members. They'll often tell me, I just wish we could all be one big happy family in this world. Why can't everybody just get along? Why can't everybody just... Let's just all love each other. Don't be offending anybody. Let's all just be friends with everybody. Let's have this little utopia here on this earth. Well, you just can't do that and be a Christian. That wasn't Jesus' desire. Wasn't His purpose. Here's what Jesus said. Is Jesus the Prince of Peace? Yes. But there's a different kind of peace than what the world knows about. In Matthew chapter 10, verse 34, Jesus says, think not that I am come to send peace on earth. I came not to send peace, but a sword. Oh, this hurts, brethren. This hurts. You start standing against your own family members, it'll hurt your heart and soul. But if you're not willing to stand against your own family members, you can't be a disciple of Jesus Christ. If you're offended to stand against your own family members, doesn't matter who it is, if you're offended at standing against your own family members, Jesus said, you're going to suffer because you were offended of me. Jesus says, I came to bring a sword. I am come, He says in verse 35, I am come to set a man at variance against his father, and the daughter against her mother, and the daughter-in-law against her mother-in-law. And a man's foes shall be they of his own household. Is that hard to swallow? That even your family members could turn against you for Christ's sake when you're following God's Word? Now, if your family members love Jesus like you love Jesus, guess what? You'll be in perfect harmony and union under Christ. But if your family members don't want to stand up for what God's Word teaches, if they're offended at the Word of God and you continue to have fellowship with them, you just lost fellowship with God. If you want to be a friend of the world, you're an enemy of God. Don't be offended. Don't be offended at being a Christian. Don't be afraid to stand where you need to stand. Do you understand now why he comes on down in Hebrews? I mean, in Matthew 11:6, and he says in Matthew 11:6, he says, blessed is he, whosoever shall not be offended in me. Now, we've talked about the sufferings that come from being offended, but there are great blessings that come from not being offended. Jesus will be your friend. Jesus will help you. He will uphold you. He will encourage you. He'll give you peace. He'll heal those wounds when people try to hurt your heart and break your heart. Jesus will be there to comfort you. And you know what else He'll do? When you're crying and weeping, He'll come and He'll wipe away all those tears from your eyes. Can you remember when you were a little child how your mother would take you in her arms and just wipe away those tears? Listen, brethren, the Word of God tells me that my God will come here and He'll wipe away all tears from my eyes. He'll comfort me when I'm willing to suffer for Christ's sake. He'll comfort me. He'll be right there. He's touched with the feeling of our infirmities. He's pleased when I'm willing to suffer for Christ's sake. He's pleased when I am not offended. Blessed is he whosoever shall not be offended in me. Go with me to Matthew chapter 15. Look in your Bibles, please. Well, stop at 13 just a minute. One of the parables talks a good bit about this. Matthew 13, listen please to verses 20 and 21. Matthew chapter 13, verses 20 and 21. We're going to have to go real quickly, but I want you to follow this in God's Word. I want you to think about how important it is. I want you to think about not only how important it is, I want you to think about how often Jesus is going to keep repeating this as He goes through the Scriptures. Matthew chapter 13, we have the parable here, the parable of the sower. In Matthew chapter 13, come down to verses 20 and 21. The Word of God says that Jesus said, Matthew 13 verse 20, but he that received the seed into stony places, the same, and by the way, let me just pause here and tell you that all four of these represent children of God. They all four heard the Word. And brethren, Jesus says in John chapter 8, why can you not understand my speech? He says, even because you cannot hear my word. These individuals in the parable of the sower, all four groups are individuals that heard the word. That's the reason that Jesus said, he that hath an ear, let him hear. There are people of God, children of God, who hear the word, and for a little while they rejoice in the word. You know why they're able to rejoice in the word? It's because they've been born of the Spirit of God. Do you know the natural man cannot receive the things of the Spirit of God? The natural man has never rejoiced in the Word of God. So anybody that's rejoicing in the Word and hearing the Word, they're children of God, but they don't always bring forth fruit to perfection in their lives. You know why they don't bring forth fruit to perfection? You know why we don't always do that? It's because we are offended in Him. Listen to what the Scripture says. But he that received, this is Matthew 13, verse 20, but he that received the seed into stony places, the same as he that heareth the word, and anon with joy receiveth it. Listen to verse 21. Yet hath he not root in himself, but dureth for a while. For when tribulation or persecution ariseth because of the word, by and by he is offended. He's offended. You know what happens when people are offended at the word of God? They turn away from it. They turn away from it. They're hurt by it, and they just turn away from it. They say, I just won't have it anymore. Matthew chapter 15. Look at Matthew chapter 15, verses 11 and 12. Matthew chapter 15, verses 11 and 12. Jesus has told the people, the group, the multitude. He says, it's not that that goes into a man that defileth a man, it's that that comes out of the man. They've been arguing about whether or not they need to wash hands, whether to wash hands up to the elbow and all this stuff. And so Jesus rebukes them. In Matthew chapter 15, verse 11, the Word of God says that Jesus said to these people, He said, not that which goeth into the mouth defileth a man, but that which cometh out of the mouth, this defileth a man. Then His disciples, you know... If you'd been one of the disciples, you'd want a big crowd to follow Jesus, wouldn't you? Don't we many times judge success by how many people are there? Listen, Jesus was not concerned about everybody turning back and walking no more with him. He wasn't going to compromise the truth in order for everybody to be happy. He just kept preaching the truth. Those that loved him and were willing to follow his word and his way, that's the ones that were true disciples of Jesus. His disciples came to Jesus when the Pharisees heard what he just said. There's not that that goes into a man that defileth, but that which cometh out of the man. Here's what verse 12 says. Then came his disciples and said unto him, Knowest thou that the Pharisees were offended after they heard this saying? Can't you just picture those apostles going, Jesus, do you know you offended some of those people? You hurt their feelings? And Jesus comes on down and tells them, you need to understand and they need to understand that out of the heart proceed the issues of life. Adultery, and he talks about all those other things that come out of the heart and that then proceeds out of the mouth. And he says, I'm telling you that you're worried about washing your hands before you eat and you're not concerned about what's inside in the heart of the people. And Jesus, in essence, told them, if they're offended at my word, if they don't want to hear the word, they're going to have to go somewhere else because Jesus would not compromise on his word. These disciples were worried about people being offended, weren't they? You and I need to get over worrying about other people being offended. If they're offended at the word of God, now listen, I can see people's minds going real quickly right here. I can't see people's minds, but I know how my mind works. I say, well, I just don't want to offend anybody. No, that's not the point. Not the point at all. It's serious if I offend you in my flesh. Do you understand that? That's a personal offense. If I offend you, not based on a thus saith the Lord, the Bible says it's better for a millstone to be hanged around my neck and me be cast into the sea than to offend one of these little ones. But that's different than being offended by the Word of God. We need to stand up and declare the Word of God no matter who's offended. And don't be offended personally when they attack you for preaching the Word or teaching the Word or standing in the whole counsel of God's Word. Go with me very quickly to just one other scripture. I want you to go to Matthew chapter 24. Brethren, you don't have... I had somebody tell me this past week, they do not believe that the United States is going to be... judged. They do not believe the United States is going to suffer. They do not believe the United States is going to be destroyed. They do not believe the United States is going to experience the judgments of God. They believe that the end of the time world is about to take place and we're all fixing to just be taking up the glory. I don't believe that. I believe that God is going to judge the United States of America. I believe that God makes it very, very clear in His Word that when He took the gospel from the Jews and gave it to the Gentiles, he told me and you Gentiles, we better fear lest we be broken off and they be grafted back in. And I believe with all my heart that God's going to graft the Jews back in. God is able to graft them in again. And before and during and while he's grafting them back in, there's going to be a horrible judgment on the Gentiles. And the United States of America is to the Gentiles what Jerusalem was to the Jews. And you don't have to believe God's word, and you don't have to believe me. But I'm telling you, without any fear of successful contradiction, God is going to destroy the United States of America.
All right.
And you and I better fear. Because unless we are unafraid of men, and unless we stop being offended at being a Christian, we're going to suffer the judgments of God. Matthew chapter 24, listen please, beginning in verse 9. Matthew 24, beginning verse 9. The Word of God says, then shall they... This is Jesus. Did he pull any punches back there in Matthew 5, the Sermon on the Mount? Did he say, blessed are ye when men shall revile you and persecute you? And say, oh man, we got Matthew 10, just chose the 12 apostles. Did he tell them, you're going to be hated of all men for my sake? Then he comes to Matthew 13, gives them the parable. He says, you're going to be offended sometimes. And then he comes to Matthew 15. He says, Don't be offended when other people are offended at my word. Now Matthew 24, he's talking about the destruction of Jerusalem in Matthew 24. He tells them that this generation that he was speaking to was not going to pass away until all those things were fulfilled. Matthew 24, beginning in verse 9, he says, "Then shall they deliver you up to be afflicted, and shall kill you, and ye shall be hated of all nations for my name's sake." You're going to be hated of all nations for my name's sake. Are you willing to die for Jesus? Are you willing to die for Jesus? Are you really willing to die for Jesus? If you're not willing to stand up and live for Jesus, you're not willing to die for Jesus. If you're not willing to suffer persecution, you're not willing to die for Jesus. He says in verse 10, "And then shall many be offended, and shall betray one another, and shall hate one another." Now he's talking about disciples of Christ are going to betray one another and hate one another. "And many false prophets shall arise and shall deceive many. And because iniquity shall abound, the love of many shall wax cold. But he that shall endure unto the end, the same shall be saved." That's people that are not offended of Christ. You know what Peter's going to say two chapters after this? Peter's going to tell, Jesus is going to get real specific with his apostles. Right after they've had the communion service, you know? Right after they've had the Last Supper. As soon as they sang a hymn, he says, "Now, all of you are going to be offended because of me this night." He used that word. "All of you are going to be offended because of this night." Well, I think I'd have done just like Peter, don't you? Peter said, "Not me, Lord. Not me. I'll die for you." And he says, "No, Peter, you're going to deny me. Before the cock crows, you're going to deny me." "Oh Lord, I'll die for you. I wouldn't dare deny you." And then Jesus says, "Yes, you're going to deny me, and all of you are going to deny me. All of them." And then you come later on down in chapter 26, and it says, "They all forsook him and fled." They were offended in him, weren't they? Thanks be unto God, later, just like John in Matthew 11:6, John the Baptist was offended right there, wasn't he? But I'll tell you, later in John the Baptist's life, before he died, he wasn't offended anymore. And though in Matthew 26 we read about the apostles being offended at Jesus Christ and all forsaking him, I'm glad that we can read when we come to the book of Acts after the resurrection of Jesus Christ, I'm glad we see those apostles no longer being offended in Christ. They grew spiritually. They all died physical, horrible physical deaths. But Jesus was with them in the moment they drew their last breath. And Jesus will be with you if you endure to the end and if you're not offended in Christ. May God help us, is my prayer, for Christ's sake.